Faith. Faith is what you need. Faith is all you need because God says, just have faith and trust in me, right? You are the faith side today. So say faith with me.
Faith.
That's better. You're not faith over there. You're faith over here. It says in Titus this, it says, but when God our Savior revealed his kindness and love, he saved us. Not because of righteous things we have done, but because of his mercy. He washed away our sins, giving us a new birth and a new life through the Holy Spirit. He generously poured out his Spirit upon us through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Because of his grace, which we were singing about, he declared us righteous and gave us confidence that we will inherit eternal life. Faith. It's all about faith over here, right? Faith?
Faith.
Yeah. Well, let's look over in Ephesians what it has to say about faith as well. It says this, God saved you by his grace when you believed, and you can't take credit for this. It is a gift from God. Salvation is not a reward for the good things we have done. So none of us can boast. It is about faith, for we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus, so we can do good things he planned for us long ago. Faith. Faith is what we need. Faith is what's going to get you to heaven. Faith is what's going to save you, it says. Faith. Faith. I feel like Mr. Dress-Up. Where's Finnegan? Some of you aren't old enough to know that. This side over here is action.
Action!
Ah, I got the right guys on this side. You guys are going to have to pick it up over here a little bit. The whole idea of actions, the actions that he's talking about are found throughout Scripture because over and over again it says your faith has to have actions. James talks about that in his whole passage of Scripture. Let me turn to it, where he talks about faith in action. This whole book that we've been talking about in James talks about that. Alvin called us to try to do actions this last week. What did he challenge us to do last week? Oh, Alvin, I hope you're listening. To say the Shema, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. Those seem to be actions to me. And love your neighbor as yourself. That's action. So action, you're over here, right? We're looking at all the different actions. In James 2:18, it says this. Now, someone may argue, some people have faith, others have good deeds. But I say, how can you show me your faith if you don't have good deeds? I will show you my faith by my good deeds. Matthew, if you look over to Matthew chapter 7, verse 4, or verse 16, Matthew 7, 16. If I find Matthew. This is part of the Lord's prayer, or Lord's sermon, Jesus' sermon when he's on the mount. And it says, you can identify them by the fruits that, by the way they act. Actions, there you go. It's talking actions. The fruits of the Spirit is love, joy, patience, kindness, all those things in Galatians 5 that he lists for us. What are those? Actions. Right. So we got faith over here and actions over here. You know what? That has divided more churches than any other thing. And I think I just divided our church. The whole idea of faith in actions is found in James. I got to get rid of this. That makes me feel like church. The whole idea in James is what he's trying to get at is the whole idea of actions and putting things to work. And so over and over again, he explained to his believers how actions and faith had to go hand in hand. That's what he was trying to get at. And so when we look at the book of James, we realize that he was writing this to who? people who had been dispersed all over the place, believers, people who chose to believe in him, in Jesus Christ, were now scattered, and they were being persecuted. And so in persecution, it's kind of like a little tough to show your action sometimes. When you're being persecuted, you're taking your faith, and you have to actually share it. He's challenging them, go out and share your faith with the others. You're rubbing shoulders with people. Please tell them about who I am. You are my examples. You are the ones that are supposed to go do that. And that's what James is trying to pull out of these people, just to try to get them to say, hey, this is all about kind of sharing your faith and putting it into action. So over and over again, he challenges them through this. Now, those that are in the back room, they need to decide which side they're going to be on. So if you're back here behind me, you need to say, I'm going to be faith or actions. Or you can split the room in half if you'd like. That's up to you guys back there. But I want you to be a part of this today. So when we look at this chapter, if you turn with me to James chapter 2, if you have it on your iPad or phone, or if you actually carry a Bible, one of those written page things that you can look at. James chapter 2 is a small book way towards the end of the New Testament. So it's towards the end of your Bible, and you need to look at it because James does a lot what Jesus did. He tells three short stories here. He packs a lot into these few verses, verses 14 to 26, because he's trying to get the people to understand, so he's illustrating it for them in some ways. The first one would be called empty talk. If you look at verse 15, we're going to come back to verse 14 later. But verse 15, he addresses the whole idea of just having empty talk, empty language, in other words. So this is what he says. Suppose you see a brother or a sister who has no food or clothing, and you say, goodbye, have a good day, stay warm and eat well, but then you don't give the person any food or clothing. What good does that do? Empty words. A lot of times we have empty words and we don't really carry through with our actions, and I think that's what he's trying to drive through. Don't have empty words. So what are some actions you can do? I'll give you a story of mine that it's a little embarrassing, so I know you probably like to laugh at me a little bit, Wayne always does. But the whole idea of, we were at a church Christmas party and a banquet, and we were all there together, and as we were leaving, it was a cold night, probably about minus 30. If you go to a Christmas party, you don't usually wear your parka, although in Alberta I should, those kind of things. So we were all coming out, and a lot of people walked by this car that was stuck and was just spinning and not going anywhere. So as I came out, I noticed that it had a flat tire. So I knocked on the window and said, sir, you have a flat tire, and that's why you're not moving. And they didn't speak English really well. And so I was like, okay, I think I need to stay here and explain what a flat tire is and change their tire for them. So I changed the tire, and it was frigid cold. And just as I finished up the tire and got them back in the car, the back door pops open, and this young girl gets out and plants a kiss right on my lips. And I was like, what's this? She said, well, where do people like you come from? And then she jumped back in the car, and they drove away. I never had to explain. But that was one time where I stopped and just chose to help them. A few years ago now, coming back from Olds, it was an icy, stormy night, and there's black ice, and we came up this one hill, and there was a van that had spun over and tipped on its side in a snowbank, and it was running still, and the lights were on. I thought, I bet there's somebody in there. We should stop. And so Shirley and I stopped, got out. I'm so strong, I just pushed the van back upright. It was really just on an angle. It was easy. And I could get the person out. And so got him out, gave her a ride back here to Three Hills. And it was a time of putting your faith into action. Now, I'd like to say that's just a regular occurrence in my life. But I can't lie. I'm standing up here. So it's not. But it is a time when you kind of step out in your own life and put yourself at risk at times. Now, I do realize that there's a risk in our own society of stopping and helping people on the side of the road, okay? Even in Three Hills, you have to be careful, and you need to use wisdom and discernment, but your faith should come into action. So there's different ways to do that. You don't have to stop along the roadside and help somebody, but there's other ways in our town, in our city, in our places that we live, in places that we work, where our actions will speak louder than words. Some of you are farmers, and people are watching you to see if you are out combining today. That's a sense of an action that they're looking for. You can and you can't. That's not for me to debate. But don't let your talk be empty talk, is what James is saying. Don't just pass by people and let them go. The second one is a little bit crazier, I think. It's in verse 19, where it says, "You say you have faith, for you believe that there is one God. For you, even the demons believe this, and they tremble in terror. How foolish! Can't you see that the faith without good deeds is useless?" Demonic faith, I call that. That's pretty weird. Demonic faith? Is that possible? Well, the demons even believed it. In Matthew chapter 1, it talks about that. I believe. Let me find it. This is in Luke chapter 4. Let's take this one first. "Once, when he was in the synagogue, a man possessed by a demon, an evil spirit, began shouting to Jesus, 'Go away! Why are you interfering with us?' the demon said. 'Jesus of Nazareth, go away. Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One sent by God.'" Wow, the demons were saying that. Another one in Mark 2, it says this, "So Jesus healed many people who were sick with various diseases, and he cast out many demons because the demons knew who he was. He did not allow them to speak." Over and over again, the demons even acknowledge who Jesus Christ is. The demons are the ones who come alive. They're the ones that speak out. When confronted by Jesus, they trembled. They didn't know what to do. And again, Jesus and James, I should say, James gives this challenge. "Can't you see that faith without good deeds is useless?" Useless, he says. The third way he describes it is by, I'm going to find the right spot. It's found in 21 to 24, again in this very same passage. James reminds them, "Don't you remember that our ancestor Abraham has shown to be right with God by his actions when he offered his son Isaiah on the altar? You see, his faith and his actions work together. His actions made him his faith complete. And so it happened just as the scriptures say. Abraham believed God, and God counted him as righteous because of his faith. He was even called the friend of God." It closes off with, "So you see, we are shown to be right with God by what we do, not by faith alone." Again, faith and actions. Wow. Faith. All right, they're coming alive over here. Keep working on them, Bill. That's your job. Faith and actions. And so just recently we looked at the person of Abraham and discovered all that he did. Now, he was not always perfect. He was not always the person I would look up to, but here it says he was actually called a friend of God, because what he did was put his faith into action. And so Abraham was one of those. But then he goes on to use this story about Rahab. And we talked about her just recently as well, because she was in Hebrews chapter 11 when we were doing that series. And Rahab was a prostitute. Not exactly the person you would say, she's really godly. Her dress probably wasn't really godly. And neither were her actions a lot of times. But she stepped forward and saved the men when they came to spy on Jericho. And in that action, she put faith in God and said, I want you to save me and my family. So they gathered them together and brought them out before the walls of Jericho came down. Rahab, an unlikely person, someone who's heading in the wrong direction in life, turns her life over to God. Kind of sounds like me. Kind of sounds like some of you. Messed up, kind of not knowing exactly what we're going to do, but we're putting our trusted faith in God and moving forward. And so Rahab was that kind of a person. And yet she's there in Scripture. And by the way, if you read Matthew chapter 1, what is she? She is Jesus' great, 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 some other great grandma. I didn't get to figure out how to count them all. But she's in the lineage of Jesus. Rahab, the prostitute, an unlikely person that God chose to use in a very significant way, like you and I. He chooses us to do things that, you know, we thought we'd never be doing in life. And so it's important for us to understand what James is trying to drive home to these individuals is that faith is really important, and so is actions. You have to do something with that. Actions. If you look at verse 14, back to the beginning of this passage, it says this. What good is it, dear brothers and sisters, if you say you have faith, but don't show it by your actions? Then a little bit further down, again he says in verse 17, so you see, faith by itself isn't enough unless it produces good deeds. It is dead and useless. Then if you look another, just a little bit further down, into verse 20, it says this. How foolish. Can't you see that faith without good deeds is useless? Oh, just down along verse 24. So you see, we are shown to be right with God by what we do, not by faith alone. And then verse 26. Just as the body is dead without breath, so also faith is dead without good works. What do you think he's getting at? Four or five times in this short passage, he's trying to drive home to these individuals, hey, it's great to have
faith.
Great to have
faith.
All right. Thanks, Dan. And you need
actions.
Those two things have to come together. He's like saying, you can't just do one without the other, in a sense. He wants them to be functioning together, showing that it comes together always. You see, what he's trying to say is that faith in your personal Savior is important, but then living it out is also very important. So he says, you got to do these two things together. It's like being married for you married folks. It takes two. Oh, there they are. That's my wife's first husband. The young one. Yeah, she still looks the same. He doesn't look so much the same, does he? In case you're confused, that is me up there, just to make sure that you don't go home and say, oh, Al has, you know, his wife's been married twice. No, it's only once. But the whole idea of a wedding is faith in each other, that you're going to spend life together. And as someone first said, she had a lot of faith. Marrying you took actions. I had to walk down the aisle. She finally got down the aisle. It took her forever. But those kind of things happen. So it was a long aisle, and it was like, just speed up the music a little bit. It'd be nice to get the show on the road. But the whole idea of a wedding and partners is that. I actually asked five or six couples if they would come and be faith and actions and give each other kind of faith and action vows. Like, you know, do you promise as faith to do actions? Actions, do you promise to have faith? And I thought it would work. I probably didn't. So I thought of this illustration instead. Just to try to help you remember. So how many of you like this? Chocolate. Okay. And if you put it with this, you have, someone in the first one said joy. You have joy when you do this. I said, yes, you probably have joy. You need these two to come together to make a great taste. I could do a Reese's commercial, but I thought that would be too far. So the ideal is just that the peanut butter and the chocolate come together to make one great tasting snack. And so the two become one, and faith and actions need to become one. Our faith needs to show in the things that we do and the things that we say. The words that come out of our mouth sometimes is hard. It doesn't always come easy. But think about what can you do to show someone else that faith and love and action this week? Because he calls us to that. This passage is packed with action. And so when Elvin gave me this passage, I said, thanks a lot. But it's so true that James is calling the people, the believers, those who believe in Jesus Christ, to be people of action. Now, if you don't have that faith, you haven't invited Jesus into your heart and life yet, maybe you want to check that out. Maybe you want to begin to ponder that. That's this class that's going to be offered for you in the next couple of weeks here. Just question about faith, and is this something I want to believe in? Is this Jesus real? Those kind of questions will be answered there. We encourage you to take that class and be a part of it, because we want you to be on a journey and discover what this faith is all about, because it is a journey. Life is a journey. Heaven's our destination. It's what we look forward to. So we're going to close with a word of prayer. If you please stand with me. Lord, we ask that you would help us to grow in our faith this week as we live our lives among those that we know and love, that our faith might be built up strong, and that you would give us the courage to take the actions that we need to share it with others. The actions that will speak louder than words many times. So give us the courage and the help as we serve you and get to know you better this week. Amen.